To Blue Collar BS, a podcast that busts the popular myth that we can't find good people, highlighting how the different generations of today, the boomers, Gen X, millennials, and Gen Z, are redefining work so that the industrial revolution that started in the U.S. stays in the U.S.
Hey, welcome back to this episode of Blue Collar BS with your co-host Brad
and Steve.
Welcome back, Mr. Doyle. After a little bit of time away from one another, we get to be back at this opportunity where apparently the Clarkston technology bugs live and breathe and have multiplied in your studio area. So
absolutely nothing amazes me anymore with this.
Happy to have you back. Hey, oh, by the way, what's that little glass thing in the upper right-hand corner behind you there above the glove? What is that? What is that?
That's an award
mask
that I received.
Is that the asshole ear award?
Pretty much. Number one guy.
No, seriously, what is the award?
Seriously, that is the award for the International Coaching Practice of the Year with our franchise that we're in. So, yeah, we recently collected that at our annual conference. Collected it. I did. I did pick it up and I brought it home.
And I shipped it there and I shipped it back.
That part I did not do.
Well, congratulations for that recognition. Well earned, well deserved. And the reason I bring up that award, because as you guys know on the show, Steve shows up and that's all he does typically. And again, for this show, he actually did some pre-work. He actually brought forward today's topic that we're going to talk about. So why don't you introduce the topic, Mr. Doyle? International Franchise of the Year award winner.
International Franchise of the Year. Yeah. So this was from the Fox Business and it's talking about how companies are beefing up emotional salary to address today's disengaged worker. It was published on July 9th, and it starts talking about how employees are becoming disengaged and what companies are doing to combat or address some of the, I'm going to go out on a limb and say some of the superficial reasons that they're doing to engage them,
right,
if you will.
Yeah, it's real. I have a client right now that has some disengaged workers along the way, and I don't know why or what's happening, but we are working on the either figure out how to, they either need to come along for the ride or they need to go find another bus. And that's going to be a decision they get to make at some point along the way, because we got to run the business at some point as well.
Yeah. You can't have, you know, employees that are, well, let's talk about that, disengaged or not engaged. Because as we kind of talk about a little bit, that there actually is a difference between those that are not engaged versus those that are actively disengaged. So in your eyes, Brad, what's the difference?
Disengaged is, it's not a conscious decision. It could just be that they don't know.
Okay.
It could be that they are and I'm going to pick on Gen Z and maybe a corporate environment, or maybe even a small blue collar business that has an office area where, you know, we hired Aaron at 28 years old, 27 years old, came in post COVID, got that job, was there. And now there's expectations of it's busy. We don't know what's going on. Business owner's not around. There's no communication. There's no nothing. So it's like, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. So I'm just going to go shopping on Amazon Prime Days next week. So let's figure out what we can do. I'll do what I'm told, but I don't necessarily know what I should be doing above and beyond that. Whereas the actively disengaged employee is, I am actively coming in doing the bare freaking minimum. And you want me to be part of what? Nope, I'm not going to do that. Or might sabotage it or only do very, very, very minimal work, if any work at all. To me, that's the difference.
All right. Great. Got it. Great. Cause even, you know, for our listeners and maybe even for me, right, is there really a difference between those that are not engaged and disengaged? So,
well, no, you're missing words. Fucking matter.
Well, they
here.
Do.
The word is actively disengaged. actively. Not engaged is different than correct. Actively disengaged.
Correct. So, yes, because words matter, and some people just don't feel like reading certain words.
My co-host included.
So, ironically, so let's getting back to the article, is the article highlights that over 75% of the global workforce is either not engaged or they are actively disengaged at work, according to a report that was commissioned by Gallup. I just find that just mind-blowing. Because of what?
Why do you find that mind blowing? Think about the population of the workforce today by generations. Yep.
So 3 out of every 4 people are just either not engaged or are actively disengaged, right? So,
correct.
If I looked at that and I said, okay, if I look at every, let's just say 1 out of every 4 people. So we've got 1 Gen X, 1 Gen Z, 1 Millennial, and 1 Boomer. One of those people is the only one that's engaged in the workforce, and the rest of the 3 are either not engaged or disengaged.
And which one of those 3 do you think it is?
That is actively engaged?
Well, 1 of the 4. Sorry.
Yeah, I get you.
Bad math on my side. It's okay.
To be honest, I'm going to default to the greatest generation, which is Gen X, would be the one that is... actively.
So you're going to be against your generation is what you're telling me.
Whatever. Yeah, I'd be against Gen X. Okay. So
No. Yeah. By age, we've already identified this numerous times.
Yeah, by age I'm a Gen X. I get you. But yeah, no, I would totally see how between Gen Z, millennials, and boomers being not engaged or actively disengaged.
So it depends.
Well, I agree with that, but let's create controversy.
Well, that's okay. And you did. And your people are going to be all upset with you now.
All my tens of people.
Yep. All your tens of listeners. I'll just use Panera, right? It's an elderly workforce today all of a sudden because nobody else wants to fill those roles. Are all those boomers engaged? No.
No, they're not.
Are all the kids in the kitchen actively engaged and coming in? No, they're not. So, I don't necessarily know it's a generational piece, but I think you could stereotypically say that we have the boomers that are at the end and they just want to get to the end.
Yep.
So I'm not really going to be engaged in all your hoopla and all your culture shift and your ping pong tables and your flip cup areas and your nap pods and whatever else you might have going on.
Right.
Gen X is trying to get to the next 10 years just to get through the shit show that exists a long way from any of them. You get the millennials who have been accelerated through their career for the most part. Mm-hmm. From the time they entered the workforce till the time they are to where they are now in their late 30s, early 40s, mm-hmm. and going, you mean there's a ceiling? There's a cap?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a cap. And oh, by the way, there's still an expectation you do all the same things you did to get there.
Right.
And then you have the Gen Zs that are relatively new, and many of them came out during COVID or into the COVID era working, and they're like, oh, well, everybody treated me like rock stars because I was here. And now we're into this 4 years later, 5 years later. It's like, huh.
Mm-hmm.
Is this really all there is?
Right.
So I put that back to leadership more than anybody else and I don't care what generational leader you are. It's on leadership, ownership, board of directors to solve that problem.
1,000% agree. 1,000% agree. It is that. But I would also say there is some point that it is on an employee too to stand up and say, hey, let's go. But if you're beaten back by leadership, I could understand why.
Correct. I can say my last few years at my last employer, they measured morale. They didn't really measure engagement. They called morale and engagement. And that's the other part that I don't know. Are we measuring morale here? Or are we measuring engagement,
right?
True engagement? Because mm-hmm. most employee engagement surveys are really morale
right.
surveys. I was highly engaged with shitty morale.
Yep.
if I were to answer the survey, it would show that I wasn't engaged, but they were measuring morale.
Right.
I was heavily engaged in creating opportunities for those that would remain, the product itself, the customers, yeah, the culture, all those things. But my morale was terrible.
Right.
And that to me is the part of the article that is missing here from the context and understanding.
Right.
But let's look at what is included in this, because we both find this interesting, is, you know, kind of more than the definition of what is an emotional salary, right? What does that really mean? And looking at the article, we're talking about the non-monetary aspects of a job, such as the culture, the career, and the work-life balance that people have. So it's kind of like a measure on whether they feel rewarded beyond their base pay. Right. And that's kind of interesting because it's like a feel good type thing, like not a concept I'm familiar with.
It goes back to the Maslow hierarchy of needs.
Yeah.
Do I feel like I'm a sense of part of a community? Do I feel like I'm there? Because the job isn't there for many. It's not there for a sense of security, a purpose, survival. It's there to be part of a community.
Okay. We'll go with that.
I mean, and that's where most employers missed the boat going forward, which created this big diversion of people going out to do their own thing to create record numbers of independent business owners.
Yep.
And all of the folks that are out there on social media to be influencers that are making a good enough wage to have all the other things, to have a sense of community or purpose.
What other aspects of this article did you find interesting?
I just don't get what some of these perks are, right? It doesn't make sense to me as to what we're doing and what we're trying to create for that total compensation package. And it's just me. I know it's me because I'm just the old fuddy-duddy on the show.
I know,
Boomer. And just not through. And it's just a matter of if you build an organization that people want to be part of, they're going to be engaged.
Right.
And ultimately, I think that this article doesn't do a good enough job of going through to some of the root cause of things. We're talking about a symptom and not the root cause.
Right.
And it's like, oh, I cut my finger. Okay, well, here's the Band-Aid. You're bleeding. Well, why did I cut my finger? Because I'm an idiot and I don't know how to use a razor blade properly or a box cutter or whatever. And that's how I hurt myself. So let's get you some training on the box cutter.
Yep.
So let's get everybody on board as to what the purpose, mission, vision of the company is. And the unfortunate part is many of the folks that listen in our category, mission, vision, purpose, value, that's meaningless. That's a waste of time and energy. I can't stress enough how important that is to live those things every day to attract and retain those that are part of that same culture that you want to create.
Right.
And it is an amazing thing when you do it, and you will generate more profit. You will generate more revenue. You will generate more dollars. You will generate more happy customers. You will generate life-changing opportunities when you embrace the fact that you have a culture and you have values and you need to live them every day and tell people what they are. It's okay.
Right. Now, one of the things it doesn't talk about, but some of the other work that you and I both do, when we're talking about, you know, recognition and alignment and stuff with the MVP, the mission, vision, values, purpose, things like that, and the work relationships that people have. People don't leave jobs or become disengaged with jobs, you know, because they're disengaged with the work that they do. It typically goes around their leadership, right? Is why they're getting disengaged. And it also, because they're not having conversations, leadership is not having conversations with the employees, like true one-on-one, belly button to belly button conversations with people, right? So we see that all the time in the businesses we work with when they tell us, oh, well, you know, they don't want to show up to work. We just want them to show up, get on the machine, do the thing they need to do. Then they're free to go home and do whatever. That's what we want them to do. But that leads to the disengagement because you didn't get off your ass, walk over there and have a conversation with these people that is actually what they're looking for. That's the recognition people are looking for. They're not looking for necessarily the monetary recognition. That's nice, but if that only happens once or twice, what happens the rest of the 354 days they're working?
Good math. So one of my clients, second generation family business owner, they're building some new offices in their facility. They put a big expansion on and they're moving a bunch of people upstairs to these new offices.
Mm-hmm.
And the question I asked was, are you building silos up there, or you got a group of people together that are supposed to work together, or what's going on? And unfortunately, because of the layout, there are two sides to this office. It's 3 on 1 and 6 on the other. And the 3 sales are going to be on one side, and then the other team's going to be on the other side of the, mm-hmm. of the room. And I'm like, hey, you need to get your sales manager to talk to the salespeople to go and walk through that room on a regular basis, just to hear, see, ask questions, and not just send an email. And I told him, as the leader, I said, you need to not just call people down to your office to talk to them. You need to go upstairs, go to their desk where they have the information and they have the resources to get you the answers you're looking for at their fingertips, versus calling them down to ask a question, to go back, to come back down. He needs to go up and be present in that office area, because otherwise every time you show up in the office area, it's going to be like the Grim Reaper.
Yep.
You're only here because there's a problem.
Correct.
You need to go up there. You need to go up there and manage actively by being visible and present. Mm-hmm. So you can see what's happening, hear what's going on, hear the scuttlebutt about the Packer game, the Brewer game, the whatever's happening.
How about them Lions?
The local parade. Yeah, we'll. Dude, I've lived through a lot. I'm still not drinking the Kool-Aid on that.
Come on, you're like the lone fan in Wisconsin that's holed out.
I know. I even got all my little people Lions guys back there too. But we'll see what Dan Campbell can do. Hopefully it was a very good lesson this year to learn that points matter.
Points matter.
But yeah, I think there's that leadership aspect that is really important to create those relationships. And when we go back to Maslow, that sense of community, if people feel respected, honored, and valued,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to be disengaged.
Right.
They might be pissed that they think their salary's too low with all the noise and rhetoric that's going on out there, yep. as to what's happening. But we've talked about that before, where wage stagnation is real.
Yes.
It's here.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in the job numbers every month coming out from BLS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's wages are only like less than 0.3% higher than. It's not like it used to be where, it's 6% higher, 4% mm-hmm. higher.
Right. So the other thing that I find in this article is how they're asking people to, you know, have the conversations about the emotional salary and ask for it. And I'm like, how are you asking for an emotional salary when it's non-monetary? What are you asking for? And it's extremely, I would say it's extremely vague. And it's like, the advice that they're giving you is, you know, practice having the conversation, ask for more PTO. Well, PTO, it costs, right? That there is a financial aspect with that. That is monetary for asking for more PTO. All right. So, you know, a more flexible schedule. I could understand asking for that.
But yes, asking for PTO, asking for upskilling, asking for those things, there is a monetary cost to that. Mm-hmm. Again, if you set up your organization well enough, as we go with our practices and what we do, and you set up that, how do I make incremental change and opportunity at, if we're using direct labor, 25 cents an hour, and how do I get that 25 cents an hour 2 times a year, 3 times a year, 4, what are those things where we can, instead of trying to say, here's the big chunk of things we need you to do, how do we make the little chunks of things, get really good at those, say, great job, now do this, and you get more, do this, and you get more, and micro learn, and micro teach, and micro those opportunities for people to continue to have gain and build that out so they see the path. And it just drives me fucking crazy that organizations just aren't willing to go do that work in the space.
Because it's hard.
In the space that we,
it's not hard.
It's complicated. It's not hard.
It's hard.
No.
It hurts.
It is complicated.
They have to have a conversation.
Nope.
Don't have to have a conversation?
You have to talk through it, and then you find somebody mm-hmm. like us, and we go through it, we set it up, and it takes takes over and you've got it set up in a matter of months and you're ready to go and you are set for the next 5 to 10 years. All you have to do is adjust some things here and there.
Yep.
And it's amazing to me that people aren't willing to take that chance to add value to their organization, retain their employees, eliminate the bullshit between supervisors and employees, leaders and supervisors, et cetera, because expectations are clear. But I'm off my soapbox now.
You know, that just kind of leads us to the end of the show, being off your soapbox then.
There we go. Pulling me off.
Number one guy. I'm just, you know, just to kind of go back to the points you were making, you know, there's an immense amount of value that companies and people can bring to those companies and the value to actually increase bottom line profitability by having the conversations and making those tweaks. Mm-hmm. And if we were courageous enough to actually do these things, be interesting to see where businesses would be at today when we're talking about morale, if we were to make these small incremental changes.
Yeah. One of the things I'm going to challenge our listeners to do is to go take their financials, because Q2 just ended and everybody's Q2 should be completed. Take their financials and go get that, compare that against the industry benchmark for your industry. If you don't know how to get a benchmark, reach out to us. We can get them for you.
Absolutely.
We have that resource and ability, but understand where that is at. Because when they're talking about not engaged and active disengagement globally costing, it was some ridiculous freaking number. Where is it? $9 billion or some crap like that? It was a ridiculously big number. Come on, where are you?
Right at the top.
What's the number? Give me the number.
8.9 trillion annually.
8.9 trillion annually. So in order to get to 8.9 trillion annually, that means if your company's $4 million, you're blowing somewhere probably to a couple hundred thousand dollars a year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So just think about that. Think about the changes that you can make that have a profound impact on your bottom line. So that's what we challenge you to do today. On that note, Brad.
Yes, we should depart before your bugs of Clarkston technology come out and show some ad that we don't want to hear.
Who knows? So, well, thank you, my friend.
All right, sir. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the beautiful summer weather, and we will talk next time.
All right. You do the same.
Thank you for listening to Blue Collar BS, brought to you by Vision Forward Business Solutions and Professional Business Coaching, Inc. If you'd like to learn more on today's topic, just reach out to Steve Doyle or myself, Brad Herta. Please like, share, rate, and review this show, as feedback is the only way we can get better. Let's keep blue-collar businesses strong for generations to come.